So anyway, I'm pretty shy when I speak now. If Japanese people speak to me in Japanese, I usually try to respond in English to see if they can understand that, and then if they don't, I'll speak Japanese. But excuse me.
One thing. I guess we had a long enough break that we decided we'd just drop it there, and unless there's, and we have spent a lot of time on your bilingualism and perhaps your biculturalism. I guess one thing that I'm struck by is that, you know, your family or your extended family, which includes, of course, not even blood relatives, but are, you know, it's still very close and very much intact, considering also it seems to be spread over thousands of miles in different countries. And
yeah, like my stepsister and her family live in Tokyo. And
the sister I've missed totally.
Yeah, this is my father's current wife's daughter.
Okay.
And then her family, my father's wife's family, she is extensive in Japan. She has a number of brothers and sisters who I've met and spent some time with. Certainly my youngest brother, when he was growing up in the Seattle area, spent summers with my wife's relatives in Japan.
Your wife's?
My father's wife. Okay. My stepmother's relatives in
Japan. Your wife is Japanese. Okay.
No. I'm getting confused. I have a confusing family, I guess.
No, it's not confusing at all. I mean, but it is, I guess, maybe good to... But again, it seems that, you know...
Oh, yeah. Well, so for example, my father's turning 77 mm-hmm. at the end of the month, and we're having a family reunion in Seattle, and people will be coming from Japan, and it'll be a big group, mm-hmm. an interesting group.
And have you been kind of one of the initiators of it, or just, okay, that's a good idea, I'll do this?
This is something traditional in the family. So this... It's a Japanese custom, really, that every 11th birthday is a big deal. And I think we did this at 70 for my father, but maybe it was 66. I can't remember the last one. But we got tickets for my parents to go to Hawaii. And then the whole family met them there. But my stepmother knew this was happening, but my father didn't know. So he stepped off the plane and everybody was there.
He at least knew he was going to Hawaii, right?
Well, the funny thing was he didn't want to go to Hawaii. You know, why go to Hawaii?
You've lived in Japan.
Well, he's not one for resorts and the tropics so much. But he felt that it would be rude to not go because the kids had... you know, got banded together and got him this present to go to Hawaii, and he didn't want to go. So it was a lot of fun.
And I guess I seem to remember that perhaps maybe your mother's not alive anymore. No.
Yeah, my mother died in 1985 of lung cancer. She quit smoking the day she was diagnosed, basically. So she smoked her whole life.
You still have the connections with that side of your family too, I take it. Maybe not so much. Maybe that was a childhood thing.
Well, there aren't many people on that side. Certainly, I have a cousin, Lori, who lives in Topanga Canyon in Los Angeles. We write and see each other, you know, as much as not as much as possible, but certainly regularly every year.
Japan is a nice place to.
Yeah,
to
it really is.
You came back to I'm going to do it until we stop talking about it. You came to the States when you were 10, and to LA, and you said something about going back to Japan language school when you were 12. Was that a vacation type couple of months stint or?
I might have been 11. And it was for the summer, while school was out in the U.S.
Then to see your dad.
Yeah, hang out with my dad.
So you came right back to LA?
Yeah. Yeah.
Was there much adjustment? What did you think about a place like LA after being in...
Well, the first thing that was really funny in retrospect was that I thought the whole of the U.S. was like Los Angeles.
Soon, it will be.
Yeah, there was quite a bit of an adjustment. My impressions of the U.S. had been almost of a fairy land or something like that.
You had been maybe once or twice, three times before you were moved here.
Right? My father didn't come back to the U.S. In the 50s because he had lost his passport in the McCarthy era troubles.
It simply wasn't renewed, but the government wouldn't renew it, or?
Well, he was subpoenaed by the McCarthy Committee to testify about land reform in the Philippines, which was considered a communist activity. It happened to be run by a good friend of his, and he hadn't been back to the States for some time before he was subpoenaed, and he asked Americans in Tokyo what the McCarthy hearings were about, and just decided he didn't want to be part of that.
So he didn't really have much of an idea then of what was going on.
Well, I'm sure he did, but his information was based on certainly news reports, but also people who had recently moved to Japan from the States.
For the same, I mean, as a result of?
No, for one reason or another, just what's happening in
okay, because I know there was, quite a large community of people who left the, who didn't testify, who went to Paris and places in England and whatnot, I believe, but I didn't know of any in Japan.
So. No, my parents' friends who I remember were journalists, foreign journalists, American journalists, business people, art collectors.
So he would have had actually a wide variety of information and knowledge. Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, so he didn't go to testify. He was indicted for contempt of Congress, and that's why he lost his passport.
So it was actually repossessed as opposed to simply being allowed to lapse or not being used.
Oh, it was canceled. Yeah.
Canceled.
So,
okay.
At that time, Japan got home rule back, and so the Japanese were happy to have him as a guest. And the Americans were disinclined to try to extradite him because they didn't want to be embarrassed by the Japanese, who would presumably have
made it difficult,
right. And the Japanese were happy to try to embarrass the Americans, and so there was sort of a quid pro quo that left him, welcome in Japan, but without a passport to go anywhere else. And that actually was an issue in a couple of ways. Japan was a nervous place in the late 50s because people feared a nuclear attack from what was then called Red China. And so my parents actually, I remember, had a bag packed in case they had to leave, although it wasn't clear where they were going to go.
Oh, whether your father would be able to go anywhere.
Yeah, he certainly couldn't leave the country. The other thing was that I think my mother especially felt stuck in Japan, and it was a very heavy stress on their relationship. Japan is very much a male-oriented, male-dominated culture, so I think my father got used to being the head man, but of course my mother didn't have that opportunity, so she being an intelligent, independent, thinking woman chafed at the prospect of not being able to leave and had more difficulty living there. Mm.
Did she remarry at all?
She didn't remarry, no. She remained much in love with my father for her whole life. Mm.
And I take it at some point, since he does live in the Seattle area, then he was given a passport or was his status was rehabilitated, whatever. I don't know how they reissued a passport.
His indictment was renewed during the Eisenhower administration, but was allowed to lapse when Bobby Kennedy became Attorney General. And he got his passport back in 63 or 64.
God. That was, what, so 15 years, 16 years?
Well, no, it was maybe 10 or 12 years.
Right.
11 or 12 years.
Of his service in the military and coming back from there, which is not correct.
Yeah. Well, it's a lifetime if you think about it.
Oh. I can't imagine what it's like to not have the freedom of movement that, obviously, you know, especially as Americans, I guess we're all very, very used to. I was under sort of house arrest during the riots, and you can't leave your house after, you know, sunset, or you're not supposed to, and it's a very, very claustrophobic, strange feeling to all of a sudden realize you're subject to arrest for simply being outside.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, again, being isolated like that and limited in your ability to do what you want to do, in a sense, must be awfully frightening or disorienting or something.
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't go that far. He was awfully successful in that culture in that time, and so he had a good time. I think
Came back. I mean, he's, you know, even with a Japanese wife, he's come back, you know, when he could, made the decision to come back to this country, or...
No, in fact, he stayed in Japan till 1971.
Oh, okay.
And sold his business at the time and moved back to the States because my youngest brother, being half Japanese, wouldn't be accepted in Japanese culture. Sorry, being half American. And...
he didn't encounter problems as a child, but as he was getting older, he just couldn't.
Right, as he grew up and would be going to school and getting older, the idea was to get him out of a culture that, you know, is racist to the point where he would be considered, you know, the way a minority person in the United States might be considered an outcast or
somebody who's mixed,
biologically inferior.
Mm-hmm.
So. My parents looked, my father and stepmother looked for a place in the U.S. where Japanese were accepted. Mm-hmm. And so the choice came down to Seattle, Vancouver,
mm-hmm.
I guess they looked in Canada as well, mm-hmm. and the Bay Area, and they fell in love with Seattle, so they moved there. But it was ostensibly for my youngest brother's education.
And just, I guess, social well-being, too. I mean, instead of just sending him off to some sort of sporting school or something.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And they haven't gone back, though. I mean, he's 27, you said, so obviously there's no need for them to, I mean, obviously settled in.
my father's wife, my stepmother, has a house in Tokyo, her family house. Is there where my stepsister lives.
Okay.
And my father used to travel there often, and my stepmother still travels there often. She was just there for a month, for example. So she goes back and forth. He retired a couple years ago, and so doesn't get doesn't have a business reason to go to Japan and doesn't go there very frequently at all now.
We kind of got back onto the Japanese track and the family things response about L.A. versus...
We were talking about L.A. So, a few things. Just physically, it's very different. Buildings and things like that in Japan, houses were built sort of individually with a certain kind of craftsmanship. And, of course, L.A. is a different scene. And... the first day I was there, for example, I walked into a plate glass window because I'd never seen a piece of glass that was covering a space that didn't have a frame around it. And this window was just a piece of glass that looked out over the balcony of my mother's apartment. And I didn't realize it was there, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Boy, talk about, you know, the notion of... cultural displacement or something. I'm running into the physical space.
Or the first week I was there, my mother had just bought a car, and it was raining horrendously in Los Angeles, and we lived on a dead end street. But she had just purchased a car just before I got there, and she really wanted to take me for a drive. So we got in the car in this amazing downpour, you know, there was flooding in the street, and she drove all the way up to the end of the street. It was maybe a little over a mile, and then all the way back in the rain, and there was absolutely no other car on the road. And she drove up on the left-hand side and drove back on the left-hand side, because that's the side of the street you drive on in Japan, you know. And so even just little things, cars are not supposed to be where they are. Certainly politically, my impression of the States was sort of focused around the Constitution, that there was the Bill of Rights, really. That, it was supposed to be basically fair. And so that was a bit of a shock.
Was it something you think you were aware of also because of maybe something you studied in school? In other words, America's great, or was this something also your consciousness that, well, this is what it says, the Bill of Rights, but this is the reality, came maybe from your mother's, for instance, your mother's political views, which may have been a little jaundiced, let's say, toward... The party line, especially the Republican party line, although I guess the Democrats were in power at the time.
Well, no, it wasn't that at all. It was, I guess I don't really remember having political conversations with my parents when I was growing up.
When you were 12 or 11 or 10, okay.
Or, you know, when I was in elementary school or something. But, I don't know, from television, or where did I get this? My father went to the PX once and bought a pair of blue jeans, and I got home from school, and he says, son, this is your first pair of American blue jeans, and these things are so strong, I can't even tear the pocket off of them. And then he gave the pocket of this, you know, tiny little pair of blue jeans for a N-year-old, I don't know how old I was. And the pocket ripped right off. And so to give you an idea of how this reflected on my image of the United States, I mean, you could say that I would have taken that and said that, well, that proves that America isn't as great as it's supposed to be. Well, instead, I took that as an indication of just how strong my father really was. I don't know where. Well, I do know where. I mean, from Walt Disney TV shows and from, I don't know, who knows where I got this sort of idealistic view of politics in America. But
I would think also just off the top of my head, whether it was a school in Japan, and no matter who ran it, but if it had anything to do with Americans, it would also be a kind of a social studies or civics type classes that one got in those situations.
I don't know. Well, I mean, certainly the Americans having all this military presence, you know, seemed like a powerful nation in Japan. I also, in Japanese culture, there's a real pressure to support leaders, your leaders or your elders or your superiors. And so when I got to the States, I was really confused by all the political dissent. And certainly shortly after I moved here, opposition to the war really took off, and the civil rights movement was in full swing. And I wasn't used to this notion of public dissent, really.
And maybe in many ways American culture wasn't either. I mean, it was as much a
shock. Yeah, maybe so. But I remember coming to high school one day, and my friends had gone to protest Johnson coming to visit Los Angeles, and instead of arresting people, the LA police had just beat people up. And so my friend came to school with his head completely bandaged, and
well, they're still at it.
They're still at it, but I think for me that was the an event that really made me decide sort of which side am I on. Was one of those things that made me look really hard at this tendency in Japan to just support your leaders.
In a way, perhaps, I mean, you're talking now about high school, so actually maybe that's not too young, and I'm a little bit younger than you, so I kind of followed this all as maybe a 7 or an 8-year-old or something like that, but so not very consciously, if you will, that is a way of putting it. It seems that perhaps even for that time, you were rather young to be aware of these, let's say, discrepancies, or being able to make the comparison between Japanese culture and American culture, and perhaps being seeing one as instructive of the other, and also vice versa. In other words, you're doing a lot of comparison here and kind of learning an awful lot from that double view or whatever that most people don't have.
Well, it's how you live when you're a foreigner. When you grow up in a foreign country, that's how you live. Everything, not everything, but many things are comparative. And
this may be rather a simple or stupid question, but actually, maybe not. We'll see how you respond. Do you think of yourself as an outsider here still to a certain extent, or is that something that, because now it's what? How many years you said? It's 30 years.
Almost 30
years.
It's all
gone.
Yeah.
You know, you are as American now as you know, the people around you who grew up here. As apple pie.
Absolutely.
And Chevrolet, or
well.
Or do you still see yourself as kind of looking out, you know, looking in from the outside sometimes?
Oh, sure, I look in from the outside, make those comparisons still. Yeah. Being in science and being politically active at one time in my life, and what are the other distinguishing things? It being educated, like having an advanced degree. What else? There are many things that still make me feel sort of out of the mainstream or unusual.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know how you want to proceed now. We can kind of go maybe to school and talk about your experience in the American school system, the public school system, if you want, or we could, because we've kind of been talking about politics and whatnot, or we can, as you look at your watch, turn the tape off. Is that what we'll do? Okay,
yeah.
We're going to turn it off for now then.